Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Gaurabhaktivedanta, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so I haven't done this in many months. Please bear with me. So Vishwamitra is giving us a set of teachings that he's now starting to conclude on his teachings. But here specifically we're being told that in order for us to escape the painful clutches of being the material world, we should learn to engage our entire body in Krishna's service in bhakti. So what is mentioned here is actually nothing has been left out. Every detail of our material existence is being tapped into, and by using our very natural existence and engaging our entire material body in Krishna's service, our senses get purified, our consciousness gets purified, and in that way we're able to remember our dormant love for Krishna. So the five working senses, the voice, the legs, the hands, the anus and the genitals, every one of us have that, depending on which species of course you're in. But we have these five working senses, and the knowledge requiring senses, our eyes, our ears, the nose, the tongue, and the skin. These are the same senses that we're using in our materialistic activities. And the scope of our materialistic activities are actually quite vast. The material energy is very expertly arranging varieties of so-called enjoyment, although it produces the same effect, that which has been chewed over and over and over again. We still hope and put faith that the end result may be different. Right? So we enjoy one of our senses in the same way over and over again, but maybe different destinations and different geographical localities, or in different presentations, we're trying to enjoy the same thing, but the end result will be the same. We might get the thrill or the excitement of chasing that desire, but in the end it always gives us the same feeling of frustration, of lack of fulfillment, and lack of satisfaction. That's what generally tends to happen with trying to enjoy the material senses. So whether it's through the eyes, the ears, the nose, our tongue or our skin, we're trying to get a sensation to satisfy whatever desire it is that we have at the moment. And even more than that, you know, we have the optics of the senses, which whether we're in our night dream or daydream, we have these objects of the senses embedded in our consciousness constantly. So even when we're sleeping, sometimes these objects cause us great agitation. Our desires have become so deep and have penetrated our consciousness that even in our sleep, we dream of certain smells, certain tastes, and certain forms, sounds, and sensation that we want to enjoy. So we wake up feeling as if, oh, I've just experienced this, or this is real, or we've been agitated by that sound or by a certain form, etc. So this happens regularly in the material world. And this just goes to show the amount of attachment we have to material sounds, material elements, material objects. This is what keeps pulling us down into material space, like this gravitational pull through sense objects. So there's so many sensual things out there, and as It is the nature of Brahmati to let all things down. Similarly, the nature of material attachments through the senses, whether it's working senses or knowledge-acquiring senses or the sense organs, they pull us down into this abyss of ignorance. And it is perpetuated with every single type of body that we try to change in order to enjoy. So this is a huge problem. A solution is given, but it is always good when we're in a not so advantageous situation to understand the plight of our misfortune. It is important to understand what the life in the material world is like. And sometimes you get, when you're out there, there's a pretty picture that's being painted. And like in the material world, you can get to enjoy, you can travel, you can taste this from Colombia and then have coffee in Colombia and then have coffee in Kenya, and the beans have been roasted, and you know, you can just enjoy a pasta in Italy, which is very different from the pasta if you have it here. So your senses are chasing satisfaction, material satisfaction. So you travel around the world chasing all these ideas of pleasure. And once we do get them, it's like, okay, on to the next thing. That satisfaction doesn't really last long because it's a fleeting sensation, just like this summer. And the winter season will come and go. Happiness and distress similarly come and go of their own accord. So what is the point of constantly chasing this material energy? So it is very, very important that we understand the nature of the material world and how it affects us as lay entities, spirit souls. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks a lot about how to engage in devotional service as a means to get ourselves out of the clutches of maya. And in this verse particularly, it is said, unless his senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraja's stringent ropes. So we have these analogy of stringent ropes, a binding force, or similar tone shows us just how difficult it is to get out of this very uncomfortable position. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kamajam Buryuktihi Phalam Thakva Manisina Jana Bhanda Vinay Mukta Phalam Kashanti Arunyam. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries by going home back to Godhead. And in the book, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the ignorance that binds us to the material world. When the material world is such a miserable place, but because we see the variety that the maya gives us, the variety of bodies, varieties of enjoyment, because we see all these varieties, we start thinking that maybe this is a good place. We don't really see for what it is, that there is actually danger at every step. It's the nature of being in this world. Out of ignorance, we try to adjust situations to satisfy the material senses. So we may adjust the way we look, we may adjust what we listen to, we may adjust the foodstuffs that we eat, all separate from Krishna without any connection to Him. No matter what type of adjustments we make in this material world, it is still made out of ignorance. It is not done in knowledge of what this material world is. It is not done in knowledge of who we are, separate from the mind, separate from the intelligence, separate from the body. Where the spirit soul is above the senses, is above the mind. So unless we understand the ignorance that we are in, unless we understand that we are not these material bodies, the miseries of life which is pretty much birth, death, old age, and disease, they will follow us birth after birth. Unless we cut the ropes of ignorance, unless we get ourselves out of the binds, the shackles of material existence, we become bound to a life of repeated birth and death, in which we will have to taste the bitterness of the lower quality in life. We'll have to taste changing bodies, we'll have to taste forgetfulness of Krishna, anger, envy, illusion, madness, unsatisfied material, or unsatisfied desires. So unless we get to learn about our connection to that which is not material, if we're not learning about that which is spirit, our understanding of who we are is not going to be enough to get us out of this material world. In the 15th chapter, Krishna explained that this material world is like a perverted reflection. And he uses the example of a banyan tree that is by the lake, an upside down banyan tree. We cannot trace where it begins, where the roots begin. We cannot really understand where everything ends. Everything is kind of jumbled and mixed up. There's a lot of confusion in there. So the material world is a scary place to be, because we do not, without Krishna consciousness or without proper knowledge, it's very, very difficult to try to understand who we are, where we come from, and where we're going. I was reading, someone was telling me, I think it was my husband, yesterday, he was telling me how he read that the Japanese have, they're trying to get samples of an asteroid which they think is responsible for this entire planet. So they're trying to get samples of the water, and if they get the samples, they can understand that yes, indeed, that asteroid is the reason why this Earth planet is the way it is. This is why things are the way they are. So there's a lot of speculation going on there. So we cannot really base our lives on speculation, on chance, and not really knowing fact from truth. Books like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, these are actual words that are spoken by great sages, not for their own self, satisfaction, but for the sake of all the other entities who have come after them, who will be in ignorance like ourselves, like myself at least, that we need to hear this knowledge to understand the nature of the spiritual world. What it is not a nice place. It is dangerous. And in order to try to get ourselves out of these shackles of material existence, it is advised that we try to take to the path of bhakti and use all our senses in the pursuit of bhakti. So the same senses that we are using to enjoy the material energy, we take those senses, our entire body, our mind, our intelligence, we use that and we work for the pleasure of Krishna. And by doing so, all our activities become purified and our desires become purified. The way we look at the world, our vision, our determination becomes purified as well. So it is not a mythical or mystical thing. You have a wand in your hand, abracadabra, pure devotee, boom, in 5 seconds. It is a process. A process of taking the medicine and allowing the medicine to work. And Ayurveda is famous. A lot of people are into Ayurveda, Chinese medicine. So holistic medicine teaches that you don't just take the medicine immediately, there's other things that happen before when you take the medicine to ready your body to accept the medicine. We don't just jump in without any preparation, right? Yeah, the medicine is love for Krishna. Yes, I have love for Krishna right now. But there are certain things that we do in order for Krishna to come it's in our hearts, we have to get purified. And therefore the process that Prabhupada has given and the acharyas, the six Goswamis, is that we follow, you know, we have the rules and regulations that we follow that will enhance our ability to get purified and hear the holy name. So everything that we're actually doing, from chanting Hare Krishna in the morning, dancing in front of the deities, offering bhoga to the Lord, making garlands, drinking chanamrita, wearing garlands that have been offered to the Lord, these are ways in which we can actually purify our entire body. They help us think of Krishna. When I look at this garland, I'm obviously not thinking this is amazing, surrounding me flowers. No, this was on Krishna. My dad, you know, Krishna wore this yesterday, and my doctor was nursing with Krishna yesterday. So you start a process of thinking about Krishna, about thinking about the devotees that are doing this nice service for the pleasure of Krishna. And in that way, our entire body, the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, they all become connected to Krishna. Oftentimes when people, when you explain to them, yes, the voice, the legs, the anus, the genitals, the eyes, the ears, the nose, we use that in Krishna, so it is very, they think, how on earth are you using? What do you mean you're purifying them for Krishna? Whatever goes into the body has been blessed by the Lord. But we like to honor Krishna Prasadam. We like to see the deities, we see devotees, we adorn our body in Shilai. These are all things that have been recommended for us to do to help us remember Krishna, to use our mind to engage in remembrance of Krishna. So Smaranam is one of the others of Bhakti. So when we remember Krishna, we want to talk about Krishna, we share information about Krishna, we discuss his activities, his pastimes, including his devotees. So it goes from thinking to speaking to touching. And in that way, our entire body is being used in Krishna's service. So when Prabhupada urges us and reminds us that actually it is out of ignorance that less intelligent persons try to adjust to the situation by food and activities, thinking that the resulting action will make us happy. As I mentioned, no matter how many times you try to tweak the material sense objects and our enjoyment of them, there's only so much enjoyment that we can get from these activities. But if we understand the miseries of material existence and we cultivate knowledge about our constitutional position as parts and parcels of Krishna, when we understand that yes, I am spirit, my source, supreme source of all Brahman, Param Brahman, Shri Krishna, that is my source, and I'm qualitatively the same as him, and I need to start remembering. So we start performing these activities that are natural to the soul. It is very natural for the spirit soul to serve the Supreme Lord. But when you're in a diseased state, the medicine is very bitter. You know, Prabhupada oftentimes speaks about this in the Nectar of Devotion as well, but in different classes, that when you take medicine, although you know it's because the medicine tastes bitter, not because the medicine is bitter, but because we have been contaminated, so we cannot really taste any sweetness. Now, when you have a flu, or when you have jaundice, or when you have different diseases, it's very difficult for you to taste something that is very sweet or really yummy, because your body is in a diseased state. It's not that the food or the prasadam has gone off, or all of a sudden sugar has lost its sweetness. That is not the case. It is that our body is so contaminated with an illness that we are not able to taste the sweetness or taste the hint of Krishna. So it may be disease to the state that even when we see Krishna's beautiful form, we just think, there's not, I don't know what I'm looking at. Or when we hear kirtan or discussions about Krishna, we become really agitated, there's no attraction. Now when you taste the food, foods that look like, ugh, this doesn't taste yummy. This is the reaction of our contaminated body, our contaminated senses, and contaminated consciousness. But when we expose the same body and the same consciousness repetitively, constantly, and regularly to hearing the pure sound vibrations, then slowly over time, the body and the senses start getting purified, and we start tasting the sweetness of devotional service. So when we get to this point, then we start seeing the material world for what it is, the ignorant state in which the material world is in, and we start understanding our real and our constitutional position as servants of the Supreme Lord. And by constantly doing this over lifetime after lifetime, we become qualified to go into Vaikuntha, we become qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada mentions as well in the verse, the purport of 251 in the Bhagavad Gita, that when one knows their constitutional position as servant of the Lord, we also know the sublime position of the Lord. So to know our constitutional position, we know that we are not the Supreme, but we are servants of the Supreme. That there is only really one Supreme, there is only one male, right? Ekala Ishvara Krishna. That spot has been filled already. And we are by his servants there. Krishna has unlimited servants. And we are one of them. There is one male, and Krishna enjoys our service, our entire faith. If I'm doing his service, why would Krishna wants my service or appreciate? He has so many servants all the time. But Krishna is so magnanimous that he is enjoying unlimitedly from every devotee. So whatever service that we're actually rendering to Krishna is pleasing to Krishna, rendered in the right consciousness. Even initially, if we don't have a deep understanding or a deeper appreciation for Krishna, we still continue the service. As we do the service, we get more and more realization of Krishna, the Supreme Person, and our hearts soften. So we go from performing our service mechanically to actually developing a taste and wanting to please Krishna through the service. So over time, our position as servant of the Lord becomes ignited more and more. And then that's what the focus of our life becomes. And the path of repeated birth and death becomes a thing of the past. We do not want to have to come back and take birth again in this material world. So if you want to get out of this world, as Bodhisattva Dev is mentioning, let's engage in bhakti, engage the sense organs that we have, engage our working, our knowledge and prime senses, engage the mind in the process of bhakti, and by doing so, we get to understand our constitutional position, and we also understand the position of the Supreme Lord. It is not so much a matter of not acting. Sometimes people think in order to make spiritual advancement, we have to take a vow of silence or some sort of vow, go in a cave somewhere, become studious and really austere. But Krishna is hungry for loving reciprocation with his parts and parcels. And the process of bhakti allows us to actually engage in loving reciprocation with the Lord and his devotees. So to understand this clearly, we need to understand that the material world is not our home after all. Even if we may have a comfortable, not pleasant, but a comfortable material solution. So we may have sort of a material situation or solution. We may have a good birth, we may be born in a good family, or we may have beauty. We may be famous, right? We may have good karma when it comes to finances. All these things can be used in Krishna's service, but it doesn't mean we must become comfortable and trust this material world, which is, you know, dukkha and shashvata. It's very dangerous. Even if it seems comfortable, it cannot be trusted. But one minute everything is going well, the next minute there's an economic. But one minute everything is going well, then there's an economic collapse. Money is gone, lose properties, business is shut down. So we cannot really trust and put all our faith in material solutions because they are so whimsical. They come and go. Being in the spiritual world means we have minute independence. And when that minute independence is misused, we try to lord over the material energy and become little controllers. But to some degree, we control small aspects of our life. But we should never forget who the supreme control is. Now, the living entities in the material world, we carry different conceptions of life from one body to the other. We're carrying different ideas, we're carrying different imprints from our karma. Just like the air, as it moves, it carries different aromas. These things are not permanent. They can change. Thus, we take on one body after the other, and we develop a different mindset, and enjoying propensity, and once again, we get the ropes of Yamaraja tightened, the shackles of the children's sins get tightened and tightened. So this is how we get trapped in the material world, when we make friends with the material energy, we put trust and faith in the material energy. But to get out of this, quiet mind, to get out of this illusion state of thinking the material world is comfortable because we have certain things given to us based on our good karma from the previous life. We don't think deeply. To get out of it, Krishna has stated in the Bhagavad Gita as well, how to transcend, how to get out of these shackles of material existence. Mam chayo vajjana bhakti yoga sevate sarvam samatitetam rado bhagavare kalpate. That when we engage in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, it at once transcends the mode of ritual nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So in order for us to transcend this mature energy, we need to take full advantage of the process of bhakti and engage ourselves fully, use our entire existence. We try not so much to be disturbed about the laws of mature nature. Try to understand that the laws are always competing. Sometimes they will be a bit sattvic, a bit tamed and neutral. And at times they'll be rough and rugged and, you know, horrid, the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion. So the modes are always competing for supremacy. But we have to understand that this is the way of the material world. So we do not become agitated by it, but rather we understand that we should act for Krishna and not focus so much on the disturbance that is being caused. So yes, there will be perpetual wars, there will be conflicts, but the goal of our bhakti career is not to focus solely on these material problems. Not to just single out one problem and try to solve it with a material solution. We know that material problems cannot really be solved by material solutions. No one can No, I don't think any government can legislate love of God. What is, no government can legislate love of God. So it is up to us, the individuals, when we come into contact with Krishna, we can share Krishna. We can give Krishna through prasadam distribution that's been going on in this temple for many, many years, through the Harinam Sankirtan that's been going on, through the books that the devotees are distributing during this Prabhupada book marathon. So we can share Krishna like that, and by doing so we are exposing those people who wouldn't ordinarily come to Krishna, we're exposing them to the personality of Krishna, we're exposing them to the process of bhakti, and hopefully they engage in some little service by offering prasadam or exchanging some nice words or realizations of devotees or giving donations. There is that exchange of energy. They develop some agnata sukriti, and later on in their life they may take to bhakti. So if we follow Lord Vishwakarta's teaching of engaging our senses in the Lord's service, we can get out of the clutches of Maya. So it's a matter of diverting our energy to that which will give pleasure to the soul, not just to the body but to the soul. So I will stop here and ask if there are any comments.